Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me is, almost always, the Hogan's Heroes to My Great Escape, because I couldn't come up with anything else to say tonight. It's Dan. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing good. Good morning to you, Scott. And I guess good evening to me, because we're not quite there yet.
That's right. We're doing one of our more infamous midnight recordings tonight. We meant to record this a day or two earlier, but as always, life got in the way.
Yeah, and we were pretty busy too. I didn't really want you to have to double up last night because you were doing Perry Mason.
Right. Yeah. I have had an unusually productive last few days, which is obviously not a bad thing. I just keep going, wow, I've been getting writing done. I'm getting podcasting done. I'm doing things around the house. I'm relighting this room. I'm painting this. I'm doing this decor display things. Ah. No one cares. That's not why they're here. They are here to hear about the second episode of Dark Season 3, which is what we're supposed to be doing here. We're here to talk about the survivors. And I was very happy that I had seen this title ahead of time, because I put my mind at rest when I was wondering what the hell happened to everybody once, you know, everything went kablooey in Winden and, you know, on June 27th, 2020. Gotcha. if they only knew how 2020 was really going to be, it's like, oh, please, we should be so lucky. That should happen here. It's funny because when the episode was starting, and I think it's when we're in, I think it's when we're in 1888, if I'm not mistaken, I thought we were going to get an answer to the, what's the deal with that letter that adult Jonas got, the one that was supposedly from Martha or something. And we still didn't really get an answer to it, did we? We didn't, right?
No, not yet. But at least they're, you know, kind of bringing it up a little bit.
The thing I find interesting is by it still not, because it's one of those things I assumed we were going to get an answer for, because we've got this alternate Martha or Traveler Martha, you know, whatever we want to call her. I keep calling her Traveler Martha. And I thought, okay, I don't know if that's going to be one of the big burning mysteries of the season, so we're probably going to take care of that. And when he brings it up, he's got the envelope, whatever, but that we were going to get to it. And the fact that they don't, obviously it's implying this is a much bigger deal than I even imagine it would be. Although based on his reaction towards the end of season two, I guess it clearly was a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's starting to make me wonder, like, did she do it? Or maybe she did it, but not, maybe Martha at a different age wrote that letter.
Yeah. Maybe she hasn't done it yet.
Right. So maybe it could be, you know, old lady Martha who wrote it. Huh. Speaking of other Marthas, whatever, it's all, what do you make of the fact that we see Martha is having dreams which appear to be of the other Martha's experience? What do you make of that? If anything, you know, maybe you don't make anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just thought they were trying to, you know, show some kind of symmetry with Jonas or something. But I don't really have an explanation as of this point as to why, you know, there must be some kind of a, like, connection,
right,
between the two in the universes, and, you know, some kind of a, you know, not
right. Well, I mean obviously, and I think we spoke about this in the first podcast, number one, they are going for that, I don't know if I want to say symmetry exactly, though that's not incorrect, you know, maybe the parallel. Martha's through line is very much paralleling what Jonas's was on the original Earth or universe or whatever we want to call it. The way I look at it, I've always thought when you're dealing with things with alternate universes or parallel universes, however you want to say it, you know, again, I've talked about it a million times before. I was kind of brought up on this crap, you know, through comic books, and then you see it in different TV shows and movies and whatever over the years as well. But I always thought that one of the conceits of that of the idea was that there would be some bleeding through that would manifest in some form or another. I mean, the best example and the dorkiest example I'm going to come up with is, way back in the 1950s when DC Comics was first introduced the idea in their comics of the multiverse, as far as there being more than one Earth, we discovered that the characters that were on one Earth, well, let's take the Flash because that's the famous, that's where it all started anyway. And all of a sudden we're learning about, oh, here's Barry Allen Flash. But, as a kid, he used to read this comic book about the Flash. But the comic book was actually the Jay Garrick Flash who was on the other Earth. So the conceit was, oh, certain things about the other Earth kind of bled through, but it became just like, in this, that universe was like works of fiction, creativity. It sparked someone's imagination or something. But the idea that it would might penetrate someone's dreams, especially if it's your own, I almost want to say doppelganger, but whoever you are on in the other universe, I totally buy that. And especially since she, and perhaps no one else would necessarily experience it unless they are someone who's a traveler, who actually has gone back and forth, and that's why she's having these experiences. I don't know if she, I don't think that she had these experiences before she started traveling, but that's the way I kind of took it. Like I said, I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff, but that was my interpretation of it. I'm sorry, my nose is like really suddenly stuffed up. I think I do have COVID-19 tonight. I don't know what's going
Yep, probably.
Moving on to the episode, back to the episode. One of the things I thought was interesting about this episode, characters that I don't think, characters and storylines, I should say, that I don't think got much play in season two, at least not to my recollection, but I did just recently watch it, seem to be getting raised up more this season. Like all the things involving, I mean, obviously I understand why we're going through all the Mads Nielsen disappearance, death, etc. stuff, and how important that is. But like the stuff with Trante, I'll be honest, I had practically forgotten about him. How much does he even appear in season two, quite frankly?
Yeah, not very much. I mean, just a little bit. Even in season one, not very much. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of scenes with him, so.
Right, because we got, I remember going back to season one, and you actually watched it recently. I watched it a couple of years ago, so my so I forgive me for any errors I'm going to make, so I'm going to try to keep it very vague here anyway. I remember seeing him as an older guy, and basically like, oh, he's so and so's father. Okay, that's who that is. And I didn't really give him much thought beyond that. And then when we saw, and I don't, then I remember seeing him in the 80s, and I said, oh, I think he's involved with Claudia or
Claudia.
something. Was he supposed to be a reporter?
He was in the 80s, he's a reporter
Right, because
for the local newspaper.
which quite frankly would therefore could be an explanation why you have newspaper articles on you. But because I remember thinking he's got, because I was trying to remember, and I was like, wait, he was a reporter. I seen, even though we didn't really see him do much in the way of anything journalistic,
Yeah, he was just trying to like use the press credentials to try to have a booty call with Claudia or something, basically.
and I thought it was interesting because whenever you have stories that take place in what are relatively small towns, that is always one of the bases that has to be covered. You have to have your character, you have to have your one or multiple characters who are involved in law enforcement and so on and so forth. For some reason, it always has to be someone who's running a hotel. Always has to be someone like that.
Benjamin Horne, of course.
And there always has to be at least one, if not multiple, people who are involved in the media, in the local newspaper or TV station or whatever. It doesn't matter. Everything from Twin Peaks to Broadchurch, you name it. If you, it's to me, it's borderline like when you're doing a Western, you have to have those cliche tropes in there. You have to have the saloon owner and the sheriff and the whatever, the town drunk and whatever else. And I remember thinking they didn't really exploit that very much in the show. It's almost like a cliche that they just decided not to really bother with because he was a journalist, but he really didn't seem to do anything all that journalistic. And you'd think that in a show where you're dealing with mysteries that right and left and people trying to seek the truth and trying to figure things out, you'd think just one of those characters would be an actual investigative journalist, but none of them actually are, to my recollection. And if I've, again, if I made a mistake, I'm forgetting someone, I apologize, but I don't think any of them are, right? No. They're mostly kids anyway, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
And for Trant, and Trant is one thing. If you had shown me a picture of his wife that we see in the second episode, I would not have recognized her. I did not remember her at all.
Yeah, she wasn't in a lot of seasons. She wasn't in a lot of scenes in season one.
Right.
That's a
So,
mouthful.
again, a lot of this episode, obviously, it was titled The Survivors, so it was catching us up on, you know, the people who, well, survived what happened in one form or another. So we're kind of bouncing back and forth between, you know, the people who are kind of lost in time and then people who are actually, you know, right there at, you know, a few months after the actual apocalypse. One of our questions did get answered. We caught up again finally with, is it Katerina?
Yes.
I love the stuff with her at the school.
Yeah.
I loved all that because, like, which is the person she should have the more, you know, extreme reaction to? Seeing Ulrich as a teenager again? That should freak her out. Seeing herself as a teenager? Or seeing the person that she hates so much and she knows is actually going to be the one who ends up hooking up with her son? And then later, her husband. If
Yeah.
she hated Hannah before, she probably hates Hannah a whole lot more now.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. I mean, like the stuff with her like abusive mother, like her seeing her, and just like, you know, just like and like stuff, even the stuff at the police station. So yeah, this is like, you know, she didn't have a lot to do like in season one, for example, a little bit more in season two, but it's just kind of nice to see these characters that have been around for like ever, like actually like, you know, be able to do stuff. And like it works, and it doesn't feel
Right.
like an afterthought.
I mean, she was definitely one of the big building blocks of this episode, although I had to question a few things with her. Number one, as the cop or detective or whatever the heck he is points out throughout his comments and interactions with her, what is she thinking going to the police station? Especially when he outlines all the things that she had. I mean, she won't even tell them her name, much less all this other stuff. You couldn't sound more like a crazy crackpot. What are you t and then you expect them to give you the name of some other lunatic who was in an asylum or something? That was kind of insane. And then when she does find out about this person who had escaped from the asylum and was with Mikkel at one point, or Michael, I guess. I never know which one I should be using. There's something I got confused by, and maybe it's. I'm not saying it's a mistake. It wasn't a mistake, I don't think. It just seemed a little odd to me. She makes a reference when she's talking to the cop. She was like, she makes a re that she remembers her mother telling her something about that. About someone escaping from the asylum and being brought back, or something along those lines. She just didn't make the connection, had anything to do with Michael slash Mikkel, whatever. So, in that scene right there, she's obviously referencing the fact that her mother, that's where her mother worked. Right? Makes perfect sense. Here's my. Now, when she goes to the hospital, institution, whatever the heck it is, whatever. She seems hurry, and maybe it's just how the actress played the scene. She seems shocked to see her mother there.
I think it's more of like a like she's just like seeing her mother rattles her because her mom was
I
herself like
get no,
abusive to her
I
as a
get that.
teenager.
I get that. I think it was just, I mean, I don't mean to. I don't mean to fault the actress. I mean, she does a perfectly fine job throughout the episode, but the way the scene played initially, it seems more that she. I get that. But I don't think, I didn't feel her performance translated that way. Maybe it's a German thing, I don't know. But but it seems like, because I'm watching, it's like, no, she seems like she's just acting more like she's surprised, as opposed to just being freaked out seeing her mother, 30 years, 30 something years younger, whatever. Again, it's a small comment. It didn't really, it's not a mistake. It just seemed odd to me. But the great thing about all this is, for me at least, and maybe a lot of our listeners or viewers of the show, this all leads to, for me, what was the first big emotional moment so far, when she does see Ulrich in the asylum. That really,
Yeah, very effective.
got me. That it's, and the way they play it, because there's a certain point where they almost go a little too far with him not noticing her, not looking up the whole time. But when it finally happens, like, oh wow. And when she's talking about, oh, I'm gonna get you out of here, whatever, and in my mind, it's like, I don't think you're gonna be able to get him out of there. I mean, who knows? We haven't, we're taking it one episode at a time with this one, but I can't imagine she's gonna come up with a working scheme that's gonna get him out of there. And do you want to get, don't you want to, like, if you still have access to the time machine, don't you want to go back like 30 something years and get him then? Not get him, when he's like in his 70s or 80s or whatever, however old he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
We also do spend some time, do we also spend time in the post-apocalyptic world of Winden? I guess we're, they kind of fast forward a little bit, so we're in September. So I guess we're a few months later. Again, some of the most effective stuff I thought it just was done really well was the stuff between Peter and Elizabeth, and basically searching for their miss, Charlotte and the daughter whose name I can always mess
Francisca.
up, Franziska. Thank you. When they go see the, when they're viewing all the pictures, I thought that was very, that whole thing I thought played out very effectively as well.
Yeah.
Although I also found it kind of, there's a certain, I don't know if I want to call it creepy because it feels mean, but there is something a little bit creepy about the fact that it looks like Peter and his daughter are staying in the trailer, where, while the prostitute Waller used to be, and where Peter used to go see him, so that's a little weird. I thought that that's where they are, seem to be taking up residence now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If maybe it's just because like it's a structure that still has like walls and stuff, I suppose, but it is kind of a weird place for them to go.
Oh yeah, it's, again, I don't fault it. I just find, oh okay, that's an interesting use of that space. I don't, I'm assuming the implication is that character, like probably most, are dead. I don't think we saw a picture of that character on the wall, but we did see the brother, obviously, Mr. Eye Patch, or I, well, keep calling it an eye patch. It's actually, it's just a blacked up glasses, whatever.
Yeah.
And we saw that cop I
Yeah.
don't like, and Alexander.
Yeah.
Was like, yeah, dead, yeah, good. It's all your fault, fucker.
Bastard.
So, but at the same time, we kind of, I think there's a moment where we cut from, well, this actually comes after, but before that, we're also spending some time with Claudia. Claudia from the 80s is now in 2020 because she saved Regina, whatever. Is there really a re, I mean, I'm just goofing on the show at this point. Is there really a reason for her to be collecting all the different pictures of people from, from the different eras? Why would she be
I'm
doing
not.
that?
Well, I suppose she's just trying to like, figure out because, this is like the young version of her, so she's just trying to like, figure out what
No,
the
but
connections are, and they're trying to like figure out where the source is of the like she's trying to find the
why,
source of
But why does she, especially like her, why does she need to put up the three different ages of Tronde on the wall? She knows what he looks like. I mean, I get it. It's kind of when people do the whole thing where they start connecting everything with string and all the crazy stuff. Whatever, I get that. Yeah. By the way, I had a thought that the young Tronte, he looks much more like a young version of the split lip guy of the evil trio that's going around killing everybody, apparently.
Yeah, I could see that.
But when I saw the picture of him, it's like, ooh, I much more believe that would be the young version of that guy rather than the one that we're actually seeing right now. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see what else we got here in this episode.
We definitely confirmed like one of the questions that I had about during our 250th episode, like who Regina's father is, and like it's pretty clearly Tronte.
Yes, that seems pretty definite.
It, like it, yeah, it's fucking obvious. So.
Oh yeah, it was so obvious. It actually took me a moment to realize that this hadn't been revealed before.
Right.
It seemed like I just knew it, and I was like, "Oh wait, I don't think they ever actually said that before."
Yeah, they never even mentioned it. Never was just like a, you know, "Where's your father? Who's my father?" It was just an unanswered question that nobody brought up. But at least they sort of figured it with it here, and then he killed her. So cool.
One of the interesting things they've done, and again, you can correct me if I'm misremembering this because, you know, old, whatever. So some of these characters we know survived because they were in the bunker, right? It's a bunker. Correct. That's what it's for. But the interesting thing is, we went from people in the bunker and everything goes kablooey, and now we just kind of fast forwarded a few months, you know, whatever that works out to, 3 months, I guess.
Correct.
So we didn't see any of the interaction that happened when they were in the bunker. At what point when did they actually leave the bunker? Did they leave it days later, weeks later, months later? You know, would there be a concern about going out and being radiation too soon? So, and that all, I wasn't really thinking about that until we had that scene when they're at the, I never know how to refer to the house. Do we call, is it the old Jonas house? Because that's where Jonas always was for the first two seasons. You know, that, you know, the, what's his last name again?
Conwell.
I'm not going to try to pronounce it. So, I get too many German, I don't want to forget him. The main house. It's the house where we spend the most time in this whole damn series. When Peter and Elizabeth go there, and then the young version of Noah shows up, and then he has that whole interaction with Peter and everything, and he even says that thing about he knows he's supposed to protect Elizabeth after Peter is killed. So I was like, hey, dude, spoiler, man. Thanks. And of course, then the more disturbing notion, like, oh yeah, because, you know, at some point in the future, these two are going to hook up. So there's that. Still feels creepy, even though she definitely has, she's starting to age out of the role a bit there. So.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the stuff in this episode that was just the most curious beyond, you know, Katharina and the 1980s was what the hell is going on in the 1880s. Or 1888, I guess, to be specific.
Oh yeah.
Because this is all new, uncharted territory. What's going on here? You know, how? Even when we're encountering them, it's almost like, how long have they been here? And I think said in the episode. If it is, I don't recall.
Yes. I think they've been there 3 months too.
Okay, so it's 3 months. All right. Oh, everything's September, so everything's like, okay, that makes sense. Thank you. See, that's why you're here. Excellent. I don't know. You'd think I would have written a note about that. No notes about that.
We're good.
Because Francisca already looks like she's been there her whole goddamn life. Just right off the bat. God, you think she won't be nude this season? I don't know. For the rest of the season.
Yeah. No, they'll film like a special, like, you know, a 5 minute fourth season, and just like it'll be half that.
Well, then it's alternate version of her will be probably, you know, topless for half the season. So
yeah. or bottomless, just to like prove that it's an alternate universe.
But it was interesting because I guess the mysteries that are going on in the 1880s is, it's first of all, part of me like wonders, okay, are they just going to be stuck here from this point on? Because as we said in the previous episode, is this where Magnus and Franziska are stuck, and it's the older version of them that we from here we see in 1921 with Adam, which means they
Yeah.
don't if that and if that's true. That means they don't do any more traveling. That's just one hypothesis, but then you wonder next, well, then what about Bartosz? Because we haven't seen him in 1921, as far as we know.
But I think they're travelers. Like by the time we see the older versions of them, just like we don't see them travel. But like by the because by because by that point, like presumably like 33 years have passed, so they're middle aged now. And they have a working time machine at that point, which is like, I guess, 1920
Well, there's kind
something.
of, well, I guess one of the plot elements of this season, at least in the 1880s, is going to be how they find a power source that can possibly get a time machine going, because
Well, they just gotta drive a train really fast,
yeah,
I
I knew
think.
I you know what? I absolutely knew you were going to go Back to the Future 3 on me with that one. I knew
Yeah,
it. I knew it. I said I'm going to say it anyway, but I know he's going to do that. He couldn't be creative and come up with some reference to Time After Time, which is an underappreciated time travel movie.
But
It's only got H.G. Wells in it. But
they didn't really need a power source at time
oh, maybe
after
they're going to
time.
meet H.G. Wells. Wait, what year did H.G. Wells write Time Machine? Look
It's Jack the Ripper. Yeah, that's
that.
I know I've seen that.
It's going to be like, oh, it's a good movie. David Warner, Malcolm X. One of the few times you see Malcolm McDowell play a good guy. Very few times.
Good script. Writer of Wrath of Khan and Star Trek VI director.
That's right. Yep. And he's actually,
Nicholas Meyer.
yeah. And he's actually related to someone I used to work with at my old job, which
He's one of the.
I didn't know until towards the end of her time there. And I said, if I'd known that, I would be talking to you all the time about this. Like,
Yeah.
can I meet him?
He's one of the producers on the current Star Trek Discovery, too. I've seen like an executive producer or something.
You've seen the new Discovery?
Yeah, I watched Discovery and Picard. I'm
You
like,
have
yeah, I.
CBS All Access?
Yeah, I got it from one of my friends. I use her Prime so I could like watch, I don't know, The Americans or something. And then
Okay.
like she must have like an all access subscription, so it's like
Oh, she
attached
did.
to.
Okay, I got it. Okay, yeah, because
Yeah,
you gotta be a subscription.
I was gonna sign up for it myself until I realized that I already had access to it because I wanted to watch Picard. And then after that, started watching Discovery. It seemed like a season and a half, and it's
Yeah.
actually quite. I like it.
I have to. That's one of those I eventually have to knuckle under and get or get access to. I mean, because of Picard, because of the fact that I'm not watching The Good Fight and all these other people are is bugging the
Yeah,
fuck out of
and
me
people
because
keep
I'm the
yeah.
original Good Wife watcher among all these people and they're all watching The Good Fight and I can't watch it. Pisses me off. Anyway,
Yeah,
because I love Baranski.
but still,
Why are we
yeah,
talking about
but
this? It's dark. It's not dark.
I yeah, time after time, and
Time
I don't
after
even
time.
like Back to the Future 3. It just came up, so
Oh, Back to the Future 3 is fine. People
yeah.
whine about everything. God, everyone needs to fucking
Well,
light the fuck
I
up.
just last time I watched it, it just didn't do much for me. I think it was the first movie I saw in the theater.
It's
Either
got
that or
Z.
Star.
It's a movie that's got ZZ Top in it performing. It's all I need. Anyway.
Yeah, not much of a ZZ Top fan either.
Well, I know there are no Eagles, but
At least the Eagles have like, more than like three songs that sound exactly the same, but
Wow. Real going out on a limb talking about the Eagles being a bigger deal than ZZ Top. Wow.
Well, I think the
You know
Eagles
what? The
are.
Beatles are a bigger deal than the Monkees, too.
They are.
Anyway.
I'm just saying that like at least the Eagles have like, 30 songs that like, don't sound exactly the same,
I
but
don't know because usually once I get to the second or third song, I'm already asleep. So, anyway. So.
it's okay. I get you and God are twins now, so enjoy that.
Oh, California. Oh,
I'll mail you
70s.
a I'll mail you a
70s
pink shirt.
California rock is just. Oh,
I'll get you a polo shirt. I need to know what size you are.
like Life in the Fast Lane. Are you kidding me? I'm not fast about this.
I'm not a big fan of that
I
song,
like
but it does sound
I
good.
liked all their stuff post Eagles than anything they did as an Eagle. I like Sunset Girl better than Hotel California because I don't need to ever hear that song ever again for the rest of my life.
Oh yeah, that yeah, the, you know, that's a lot of that's one of those songs that's overplayed. But you know, the instrumentals are still pretty sweet on it. But yeah, overplayed. It's not my favorite Eagles.
Muzak of rock. Oh, speaking of that creepy scarred lip trio, whatever, I was kind of upset that we finally learned the name of Claudia's assistant. It's like, oh, her name is Jasmine, and then they murder her. They're killing people who don't deserve to be killed. What, these seem to be the actual the so far, in some ways, these seem to be the worst people we've encountered.
Do you have any idea who they are yet? I only have one theory because there's only like one character we haven't seen yet. But.
I have a very mild suspicion. I'm reluctant to say it because I'm so sure I'm not right about it, and I don't want to be proven look like an idiot. So you can give your theory and see if it's
My
insane or not.
theory is it's Ulrich and Hannah's like alternate baby. That's who I think it is. Because we really, there really aren't a lot of other characters that we haven't seen any versions of yet, and it so I can't imagine who else it would be. As to how that works, I'm not exactly sure, but if in there in that timeline, if the apocalypse is going to happen in like 2019 instead of 2020, if it's about to happen, maybe like Anna giving birth is like somehow part of it. I don't know.
I'm gonna take your theory, and I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go just a little bit crazier with it. With absolutely no evidence to go on. At least you have evidence. She's pregnant. I'm gonna say, you know what? I like the idea of it being because Hannah's, a fucking nutbag herself. I don't know how Jonas turned out to be so normal. But I'm gonna say it's gonna be the Hannah that the Hannah we're accustomed to over the first two seasons, that she hooks up with someone in the 50s, whatever, and has a kid then, and that's the kid. And we
Yeah,
have,
because
because we haven't even
she
seen her
needs
yet. We're still waiting, right? We haven't seen her yet.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, because she's probably banging Egon back in the 50s. So that'd be interesting.
He's no Ghostbuster. So. Oh, and speaking about murders, then we get this, we get that scene. Speak, and we because we spent all this time talking about Tronte, it's like wow, I've seen more of Tronte in this one episode than I think in all other episodes combined. Old Tronte murders poor cancer-ridden Regina, who we know is his daughter. We're pretty now we're we pretty much know is his daughter.
And somebody told him to do it, but it isn't middle-aged Claudia. Maybe it was the old Claudia that told him to do it, but somebody
It's
emailed directly
yeah,
him.
right. He says she said it's the only way to save you. I was like, oh, you but you're killing what? No, don't use this time paradox bullshit logic here. You just oh, okay. Let me see. Okay, matricide is mother, patricide is father. So what's is it daughter side? I'm not really sure, but the show, between all the incestuous things and people. I'm your daughter and your mother, kind of stuff. Good Lord. Faye Dunaway would be at home on this show, I think. Speaking of that, an unintentional segue, but it's perfect for me here. We actually then, thinking, oh, we're just going to be spending time in 2020 and the 1980s and 1880. And oh, no, we're going to go to 2053 and we're going to get to see what happened to Charlotte. And for me, that was like this. That was the next big emotional moment of the episode for me. And give the writers or the actor, well, I guess the writers credit, they don't say what must be on their mind. Because there's no denying the bizarreness of this situation. It's almost like the snake eating its own tail kind of a situation. Like you're my daughter and my mother kind of a thing happening here. Oh, wasn't there some weird parody, silly song? You know, I'm my own grandpa. I mean, I'm my own grandpa. Maybe that song was the inspiration for the writers of Dark or something, I guess.
But yeah, it's definitely screwed up because, like, you know, at some point, Elizabeth loses baby Charlotte, and who ends up, like, you know, in the past with H.G. Townhouse, I guess,
right.
Somehow. And which I'm not really sure. We haven't figured out why yet, so that should be interesting. But then also, then you have Charlotte, has no access to her young daughter Elizabeth, but they're both together. It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's wow. Yeah, that's there's nothing that it's got it takes the creepy factor up to an all new level. I mean, even though. In fact, maybe for a future podcast, maybe by the time we get to the last episode or the next last two episodes, I'm gonna comprise a list, like a top 10, the creepier the more you think about him storylines on Dark, and most of them have to do with you know people who really shouldn't be having sex or being involved with other people kind of stuff, you know. Whether it be Hannah having sex without the son and father without realizing it, or Charlotte and Elizabeth being mother and daughter to each other. All this weird, you know, people who watch way too much incest porn kind of crap going on the show.
I gotta tell you, I'm really impressed with how, with only six episodes left, like, they're still covering all this stuff. I mean, a lot of stuff kind of happens in this episode in lots of different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they manage to, like, keep, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, the Katarina stuff, the Trani stuff, the stuff in 1888, the stuff with, like, you know, middle-aged Claudia, like, recording the message that, that Jonas listens to in the future.
Right.
And, like, the stuff, like, with Peter and Charlotte after the apocalypse. And, I mean, and also, like, the thing where they're describing, like, what bad stuff's happening to the Earth because of it. It's just like, oh, fuck.
Right.
I mean, clearly the Earth is fine for another, like, 32 years or whatever, but definitely, like, not that fine. So, but just, like, it's just a really, I mean, you know, just kind of, like, the Mad Men feel, but there's just tons and tons of stuff happening, but the episode doesn't feel like a four-hour slog.
No, not at all. I mean, it felt like it was kind of just a little frenetic and crazy, quite frankly, because they were bouncing between so many. Because now you're bouncing between more time periods than ever before. We never visit the 1920s in this episode. We skip that, or the 50s for that matter, right?
Yeah, we haven't seen any 50s this season.
Right. So basically, we were in the 1880s, the 1980s. 2020s and 2050s. Okay, just making sure I got it all straight. So we still got 1, 2, 3, 4. All right.
And
then you couple the fact, like, and don't forget that we've got, and everything we saw on. I mean, we follow Travel and Martha, but everything is on the original universe, not in the alternate universe. Correct? I don't think we spend any time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell. Like, where whoever has a split lip, it's hard to tell exactly, like, who they're killing in what universe.
Right, because I think it feels like they're going back and forth, actually. So
yeah, well, that's
true. That's interesting. Speaking of interesting things, so when we get there are a couple odd little things that happen towards, not they're not little, they're not just odd, they're kind of important, towards the end of the episode. Bartos actually brings the Traveler Martha to that whole Sic Mundus Creatus Est lair or whatever, the place where we saw Adam and all of them so many times in 1921. So it's clearly been around for quite some time, and they didn't change the decor much at all, apparently. I thought it was really interesting or odd that Bartos doesn't know that Adam is, you know, as I say, allegedly older Jonas. Is he like the only one who doesn't know this, or I don't know.
Well, I think only Jonas really Noah's at this point, because and Noah, of course, but I know if Noah was just manipulating Bartosz, I guess he would have no reason to
Right.
tell him.
Yeah, and then plus they haven't encountered these characters haven't encountered him yet, so why would they know? So there's that.
Because if Bartosz has a beef with Jonas, then Noah telling him that, like, oh, by the way, we're doing this for like an old ass version of Jonas, like, that isn't exactly going to help get Bartosz to do their bidding.
Right.
But
Again,
I'm really,
I'm still wondering what's going to happen with his character because
yeah, what the, yeah,
it's
because
very we seem to be able to at least anticipate what's good, what where Magnus and Francesca are going to go, and Jonas, we know he's probably be bouncing all over the freaking place, and allegedly will become Adam, but Bartosz, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to avoid. I mean, hopefully, I don't accidentally see something online and tell me that he's dead or not. But I'm
we will
curious about
get
him.
thread. Yeah, I know it's interesting. And I suppose in 1888, maybe we'll see like the child version of like whoever young Adam like axes in the back in
Right.
1920.
Yes. Right. If it wasn't for the fact he would be too old, that would have fit in with the whole, oh, Bartosz is that guy, but he's no, he would be he, Bartosz would be too old for that. And I guess the episode ends where we find, I will give the show credit. I like when shows do this because it kind of defies what a lot of TV shows do. If you don't see a character for most of an episode, they're just not going to be in the episode. It's budgetary reasons as much as anything else. But this episode, we wait till the very end, and then we see Jonas again, young Jonas, whatever, with older traveler Martha, and that's where she kind of just clarifies, in case we weren't clear on this, that how things may be slightly different, or maybe they happen at slightly different times between the two universes, but pretty much everything is going to happen on her in her world the way it happened on his world, and her world's apocalypse is now going to happen in 3 days. So, I know the previous episode was called Deja Vu, but it sounds like, oh, looks like another going to be another moment of Deja Vu yet again for Jonas. And that was pretty much the end of the episode at that point.
I gotta say, I was kind of before this, because our schedules are weird and whatever, I was just kind of considering, like, well, maybe we should try to, maybe watch episode 3 and 4 and, just do one podcast from that. But just this episode, and I didn't take a ton of notes, but I think we, there was enough to talk about where it kind of still feels like doing one isn't a waste of our time at all.
No, my issue,
Pretty great conversation.
my anticipated issue is not going to be, can we fill a podcast covering one episode? Of course not. I mean, dude, there are things in my notes we didn't talk about. There are things we might just skipped over.
Yeah,
I
we didn't
mean,
even talk about Nicholas Meyer writing Star Trek IV, even though Nimoy directed it, so.
well, at least, anyway, I always have to bring everything to a screen. This is where you have to put. This is where you have to Mr. Producer there. He needs to start get find a sound effect with things being brought to like a screeching halt every time you bring up.
Hey, I was just spotlighting our ability to create content.
That's why we're so popular. Because I mean, I'm seeing that say like angry deaf girl, sad deaf girl. I'm like, what was I? I guess I was talking about Elizabeth, but what? Anyway, or something like that. And why do I have it? We didn't even talk about the blind guy. We did not talk about the blind guy, and I think the blind guy might be kind of important, or somewhat important. I mean, my impression is blind guy is the one who, well, he's obviously he's the one who found them or encountered them for the first time, and he's got to be. I'm figuring he's got to be connected to the whole sic creatus mundus, whatever the hell. Whatever the hell you call it, thing.
I think he kind of seems like he's the origin of that like cult or something.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a founding member or someone, a legacy, whatever. It feels like this is obviously supposed to be something that's gone back for eons. Just by the way everything looks, it looks like it goes back to who knows when. So either he was the only one left or one of many. I guess I'm assuming we're going to find out, if not the next episode, in the next couple episodes, because he's. Seems kind of important. There, now we have to mention him. By the way, kind of by the way, just to be totally self-promoting for something, which I don't know why I'm bringing it up at all, but I personally, just for Scott, it's a Scott thing only right now. I'm kind of enjoying the fact that this is taking place in 1888, because the screenplay I'm currently finally got back to rewriting of mine also takes place in 1888. So that way I'm going to kind of watch this and kind of keep my eye on it, like, just to see, like, oh, wait, oh, they had that back in 1888. I can use that. Oh, I didn't know they had that. Yeah, I remember having to look up, did they have a Bessemer converter in 1888? Yes, they did. I can use that. Anyway, everyone's got to go look up what a Bessemer converter is now.
The 1888 Jonas really doesn't like this alternate Martha. Like, really can't stand her at all. It's pretty brutal. He's just, you know, he's super aggressive about this shit.
Well, you know, he it's 1888, so there's no Me Too movement, so he can just be brutal and mean. He's like pretty much violent with her. I was kind of like,
oh, yeah.
Dude. You and McGregor stand in, you know, give it, you know, calm down.
Yes, he looks like Ewan McGregor, and he dresses like Hugh Jackman in The Prestige, and he's just kind of rough. So he's definitely acting more like Adam, I guess, than last season's middle age.
Oh yeah, now it's starting to feel more like, now I'm starting to go, oh, there, maybe he really is Adam. Even though I still want it to be true that it's not, because that'd be kind of. I will do a jig if I turn out to be right about that.
No. That'd be really interesting. Yeah, with Bartosz, and then that would explain why we haven't seen Bartosz, because that's Bartosz.
By the way, if it turns out both Jonas is not Adam and Bartosz is Adam, then oh my god, that's like my Rose and Bernard or Dharma kind of thing. There's a reference for everyone who will appreciate who listened to a certain other podcast over the years. Alrighty then. I think I actually did see what the title of the next episode is. I think the title of the next one is going to be Adam and Eve. Adam and Eva. Because, you know, it's, I'm assuming it's an Eva Braun thing, so it's going to be...
Yeah, I suppose. Well, that's cool, because... So maybe my odd speculation about there being an Eve type character would be.
Can I say it's fascinating that we're watching a show that's Germany. Everyone's German. It's Germany. They're bouncing all around time now, you know. And and not once is anyone giving a thought to, hey, while we're at it, anyone want to like go track down Hitler's family and take care of that, so maybe we won't be all super depressed years later because everyone in the world hates us. I'm just saying, it's weird that no one's actually made a comment about that. Then again, they were in 1921, and no one made a comment about how they're trying to recover from freaking World War One either.
So, well, there was a little bit, because like they assumed young Jonas was like coming back from the.
That's right. You're right. There is a reference. Not as good as the World War One reference that was made in this week's Perry Mason spoiler, but it's still.
What, did Snoopy show up flying an airplane, or was it something
else? Oh man, it's, if Snoopy had run into this, we've been all over for Woodstock. Anyway, all right. I'm not sure when we're going to get to episode 3, but hopefully it'll be sooner than later, depending on our respective schedules. But like I said, the plan is to, at the very least, pump out 2 of these a week. We may do more. We may do it. It really depends on our respective schedules, but we will do what we can. I'm sensing people are watching it, so I'm not worried about it. They'll still listen regardless, or they won't. Whatever. I'll watch the downloads and I'll know what's going on. Anyway.
Yeah. Cause yeah, I definitely got to get them all recorded before I go on vacation again. So, but I think we'll keep doing good.
When is your next vacation now?
Thursday, July 9th, I leave again. So, and I work like tons since then. But I'll make it happen. I'll have to just watch the episode and stay up late and record some. We'll have to record Wednesday, maybe Thursday, or we'll figure it out. But I'll do what I can to get it done.
Let's make sure.
This is my weird idea, so I have to.
Right,
I have to put out
Did you take advantage of the fact that in the age of Corona, I apparently no longer have a social life? Anyway,
Yeah.
pretty much.
Yes, I
That's not,
very good.
it's not, it, it's, you're not wrong. Anyway, if you enjoyed this podcast, you will enjoy hanging out on our podcast page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama podcast page. Like the page, and you can talk about shows like Dark, like Perry Mason, like Better Call Saul, and so many other shows there. You can go to our website where you can find all 250. This will be number 254. So it'll be 254 podcast episodes that we've, chucked out there. We actually have a few good ones if you check it out. It's stvdpodcast.podbean. podbean.com. That's where you can find all the stuff there. If you know how to get on iTunes, you can find us there and subscribe to our feed and rate and review us. I seem to not know how to do it anymore, but everyone else, maybe you can. Again,
I
Serious
think it's
TV Journal
called like
Podcast.
Apple Podcasts or Apple Music or
Maybe
something like
that's what
that.
it's because, and I'm still using the, I'm going to iTunes where everything is, but then because I had the thing, you go to the iTunes store, but I punch in our thing and nothing comes up. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. But anyway, but if you know how to get there, if you're not like an old idiot like I am, you can find our thing there. Subscribe, rate, review. Heck, Google either Serious TV Drama Podcast or STVD Podcast, and you'll find us a million other places. We're even on freaking YouTube, even though half our stuff gets edited there, cut out anyway. And finally, you can follow us also on the Twitter. Our handle there is at STVD Podcast. STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast or Scott TV Dead Podcast. Again, amazing. It didn't occur to me to like podcast 249 or 250 that STVD could stand for that. Could have been a great T-shirt. Oh, by the way, someone's actually going to have a serious TV Drama Podcast T-shirt in the next couple of weeks. So it'll be the first time
Nice.
anyone, first and probably last time anyone will have merch based on our podcast. And I don't know if I've shown you the image or not, but it's pretty. I think it's going to go through because the other one didn't because there were too many rights issues, so like most of our podcasts. But this one I think will go through. So I've already told her. Oh, actually, I haven't told her, but I'm telling her now because I think she listens to the podcast. Well, she clearly listens to the podcast. Oh, by the way, you're gonna have to take some pictures with the shirt. So you can model them on the site and stuff. So there you go. All right. I just talked a whole lot in people's ears. So, anything else you want to put out there before we wrap? Say goodbye, Dan.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, and I don't care about the stuff, but it is now my birthday, and I want you to sing happy birthday to me. I don't care about the attention. I just want you to have to fucking sing.
Is it really your birthday? How do I not know
Yep,
that?
it just hit midnight, so that's why.
You
Now it's
know,
the 30th.
my best friend claims that, you would technically be one of my closest friends, but the fact that we don't observe each other's birthdays makes me think she's wrong. Anyway, now I've depressed myself for the rest of the night. All right, I'll say. Do you want me to do like a baritone thing, or do you want me to go full tilt Marilyn Monroe on you?
Maybe try it both ways, and then I'll tell you which one's better, and then I'll keep them both in the podcast because I'm an asshole.
You're only doing this because you know I had something to drink before this podcast. All right, let's see what I can do here.
I just know you like singing, and you don't get to do it much in public, so this is as public as you'll get.
Oh, I could. Oh, what would it sound like if Johnny Cash sang Happy Birthday to Dad?
That'd
Except
be cool.
it's going to sound more like Mr. Ed, I think, but whatever. All right, we'll
Well,
give it a shot.
that's what they call me, Mr. ED. So,
Right, I'll give it a shot. There's no rights issues with Happy Birthday, is there? Right, okay. It's public domain now.
probably, but
It used to be an issue, but now I don't think it is anymore.
yes.
Okay. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dan. Happy birthday to There you go.
Thank you.
God.
I appreciate
And on that bizarre note, I bid you all good night. And I,
Good night, everybody.
good night,
Thanks for listening.
yeah.